Good morning. Welcome to Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Baltimore State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby on Friday announced that her office would seek criminal charges against the six officers involved in the arrest of Freddie Gray.
The findings of our comprehensive, thorough, and independent investigation, coupled with the medical examiner's determination that Mr. Gray's death was a homicide, which we received today, has led us to believe that we have probable cause to file criminal charges. Yes!
Yes! As the world knows, Freddie Gray suffered a fatal spine injury while in police custody. Mosby's announcement is a big departure from recent decisions not to prosecute police officers after someone dies in police custody. Within hours of Mosby's announcements, the Police Officers Union denounced the charges at its own press conference. Here's Fraternal Order of Police lawyer Michael Davey.
We believe that the actions taken today by the state's attorney are an egregious rush to judgment, and we have grave concerns about the fairness and integrity of the prosecution of our officers.
We want to explore how this will shape police policies and culture. With me in the studio is Tyrone Powers, former FBI agent, former state trooper, and director now, director of the Homeland Security and Criminal Justice Institute at Anne Arundel Community College. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
First, the police union's lawyer, as you heard, characterized the charges as a rush to judgment. In your view, did these charges come too quickly?
Not necessarily. I mean, it depends on what kind of thorough review that the state's attorney did, and she indicated that she did a thorough review. I think that the timing depends on how much you're able to accomplish based on the evidence and the information and the investigators you bring in. If I bring in 30 investigators, then I can cut the time short that I make a decision on whether to file charges or not. And she's filing a charge, so it's a prima facie case. It still has to be proved in a court of law. I also understand completely, though, the FOP. I mean, that's their role, is to protect police officers. But I think they would be better served in this particular situation to maybe even have a conversation with the state's attorney to see how she came to charge so quickly, because what you do not want to do in this environment in Baltimore City is create a more antagonistic relationship between the police and the community, or the police and the prosecutor. We want no antagonism at this particular point. So before we say it's a rush to judgment or a rush to charges, I think we need to kind of dissect exactly what she did, and that might involve the conversation with the state's attorney and the head of the FOP or the FOP's attorney.
Given what the charges are now, do you expect that they'll change how police handle suspects in their custody?
Yeah, I know it will, because across the nation, and even when I did these kind of investigations as an FBI agent investigating public corruption or civil rights cases or complaints against police officers, there was always this philosophy that there was a cozy relationship between the prosecutor and the police department, or the prosecutor and internal affairs. That relationship can exist, and it should exist. There should be a relationship between the prosecutor and police and internal affairs, but it shouldn't be so much so that the prosecutor is even limited in terms of how she charged, or I have to use a grand jury because I have a relationship with these people and I don't want to be the one that say indict or not indict. I think now that based on what the state's attorney have done, there will be a philosophy and a thought process that those decisions will be made regardless of the relationship between the prosecutor and the police. And that's a very positive thing, because just as individuals in society have to know their consequences and repercussions for transgressions, even if they know political parties, police officers should know the same thing, that our relationship doesn't mean that if something comes up, the prosecutor won't do her job unbiased.
And what impact, if any, do you think these charges are going to have on how police do their job?
Well, I think it'll make them more careful. I think they'll be, they'll dot the I's and cross the T's, which they should have always been doing anyway. And they will know that their activities are being watched. I think they'll follow policies closer. I think initially there'll be pushback, blowback. You know, the prosecutor's after us, they're out to get us. But they feel that way about internal affairs anyway. But I think in the end, it'll make for better policing, because they will understand that our work, if we do it the right way, it's not a problem. If there's any thing that we do that is not consistent with policy or consistent with law, then it very well could be pursued by a prosecutor.
Are there any particular charges that you think are going to change the approach that police take to their duties?
Well, I think there's a, I think if you, in listening to her presentation, the fact that people did not get medical attention on time, or that they did not pay attention to the suspect they have arrested, I think that'll change. I think when people ask for medical attention, they'll get that medical attention now relatively quickly, and whether they're harmed or not harmed, or hurt or not hurt, will be left up to the emergency personnel. I think that'll change. I think supervisors will scrutinize the reports more. In policing, what's supposed to happen is that if a police officer does a report and there's missing some probable cause, or then the supervisor is supposed to go immediately and ask the police officer about those particular things. What happened here? What was the probable cause? Why did you arrest him for having a knife? What was your thinking? Do you know the law in this particular area? I think before, supervisors simply because kind of rubber stamped that. And now I think what they'll have to do is actually scrutinize the report and the activities of the officers that they supervise, because quite frankly, if they do not do that, they're putting their own livelihood and position at jeopardy. And I think now they'll understand that better.
And so what will people on the street see? What will citizens see if you're right about the impact on how police officers think?
Anytime there's anytime police activity or police behavior is corrected, definitely trickles down to the public. So they'll see a more professional police department if this all works out right. And of course, under the leadership and the guidance of the commissioner drawing a bright yellow line saying this is what we're dealing with, then I think they'll see a more professional police department. They'll see a police department that is more concerned about making sure that not only they reduce crime, but that people's constitutional rights are not violated. And I always have to say that, having trained police officers and continuing to do so, they're not mutually exclusive. You can reduce crime, go after bad people, and make sure that people's constitutional rights are not violated if you have good training, and if all concerned understand that they will be scrutinized not only for their work in terms of gathering evidence to convict someone of a crime, but also in terms of making sure that the constitutional rights of all citizens are protected.
On 88.1, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Tyrone Powers, former FBI agent, now director of the Homeland Security and Criminal Justice Institute at Anne Arundel Community College. We're talking about how the charges brought against the six officers on Friday will affect police policies and culture. Sherrilyn Ifill, formerly with the University of Maryland, yes, Law School, is president and director counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense and Education Fund. She was on CBS's Face the Nation yesterday calling for better training of police.
Some of the incidents we've seen, the you know, rolling up on 12-year-old Tamir Rice in Cleveland, who's in the park with the gun and shooting him within seconds, you know, rolling up on people who are mentally ill and shooting them within seconds. How do you engage with the mentally ill? How do you de-escalate an encounter, for example, with a teenager? How do you deal with your own racial bias that makes you believe that a young African-American man is a criminal? That's the training I think police officers across the country are missing, and they have to have it.
Is she right that that kind of training is missing?
Well, two things, because police officers often use the fact that they need more training as an excuse for doing things that they know they shouldn't do. Training in the state of Maryland through the Maryland Police and Correction Training Commission requires over 750 objectives be taught and tested. So sometimes police officers simply know better, but they act outside of the law anyway. Their default is always more training, more training, more training. Training can always be enhanced. We need as much training as we can. But many of these officers who go outside of the law, who do things they shouldn't do, they've already been trained in the continuum of force. They've already been trained in how to deal with mentally ill patients. It's required in the state of Maryland that they get training on how to do that in their academies, or they cannot graduate from police academies. You can enhance that. You can make it better. You can have supervision emphasize that. You can have the state's attorney indicating that she understands that training and she's going to make sure it's pursued. More training. But do not allow training or lack of training to be an excuse, because there's no way that they have not been trained in how to do this properly. They've just been in an environment where their training, that with the training that they've received, hadn't been required of them to practice what they've been taught. And so we can't give them that default out, because they will every police transgression case across the nation, the first thing they say is, we need more training. And the reality of the matter is, before we automatically say that, let's look at what training they've had, so we can determine whether it's training or whether they just decided to act outside of that training. I couldn't go into court with criminal charges and tell the judge I committed a robbery, and I would do better if I had more home training, because he's going to say, that might be the case, but right now you're going to prison. So Somewhere in the middle.
Let me ask you. Police Union President Gene Ryan spoke at their press conference on Friday. He was asked how police officers were responding to news of the charges. Here's what he said.
Without a doubt, I can tell you they're not happy. I mean, this is going to... This decision to charge them officers is going to make our job even harder.
Do you agree with him?
I disagree with that. I mean, anytime, you know, the reality of the matter is the job of the state's attorney is not to make police officers happy anyway. The job of the police department and for the attorney general is to seek justice, no matter who violated it, whether they are in blue uniforms or blue jeans. So the happiness of the police officers shouldn't be the concern of the state's attorney. And police officers who are unhappy with this should just change their behavior and make sure that they're doing things in the correct way. And, you know, and again, like I said, the FOP really probably needs to tone down the antagonistic language a little bit. I know their job is to protect police officers, but as we move forward with this case and other cases, they have to have a great working relationship with the community.
And we're down to just a half minute, and that's really what I think we're all wondering. How do you think the charges announced Friday affect the relationship between police and community?
It depends on the leadership of the police department under the commissioner. It depends on how he engaged police officers, talked to them about what this means, and how they should operate going forward. The charges themselves won't change the way the police work with the community. The leadership will have to make sure that what they are hearing in terms of the charges and the relationship with the community is a successful one so we can reduce crime and protect everyone. All lives matter, police officers and citizens. They are one.
Really appreciate your insights. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tyrone Powers, former FBI agent, former Maryland State Trooper, now director of the Homeland Security and Criminal Justice Institute at Anne Arundel Community College. We've got more information at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Casta. Ahead, some of the legal questions raised by the charges. Stay with us on 88.1.